Radio.com.
Theme song!
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
It's me, DDP.
Listen up, slap nuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
This is Pat Patterson.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant. And you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world.
How you know?
I love kickball.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And a fine hello to everybody listening to us over at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, and Gerwick.net. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We have a lot to get into, and it's going to be one of those fun shows because he and I are both in a mood. And if you don't know who we are, I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We are here. We are live. A mood, you say?
A mood.
A mood for puppets?
A muck.
A muck.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. Because one, bravo on the intro.
Thank you.
Two... There is footage somewhere of The Undertaker recording that Scooby-Doo thing. There's footage of him doing it.
I want it.
I want it. I want to see the footage of that man recording that movie. It needs to be a thing. Because you notice, it came out, right? And there's no, like, advertising for it by WWE.
Comes out Tuesday.
Oh, it comes out Tuesday? Well, there's no, like... You remember when the first one came out and they were like showing everybody in the studio recording their lines? None of that. Taker was involved. None of those shenanigans happened. But still, I know there's footage of The Undertaker talking about puppets. And he was smiling when he said that last line. I want it. I need to see it. I need to see it so bad. Because there's a cartoon with The Undertaker talking about puppets.
Yep, and he has a little puppet on his shoulder.
He has a little puppet! Done. Just done.
By the way, go ahead.
This is what happens when The Undertaker has kids.
Tweet the show at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lynn's Ward. Join the conversation. Come to the chat room and all the fun, happy stuff. We have a lot to get into tonight, including what will be a reoccurring segment for the next 5 weeks, and the return of an old faithful segment as well, plus NXT and so much more. It's The Rack. We're live! Are you ready?
I'm ready, so I say we jump right into the news brought to our friends over at not them. We don't talk to them anymore. TNAAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, and Gerwick.net.
You do realize it says on the sheet what to say, right?
Yes, I realize that, but you know, it's just... Shut up.
It's in big, bold letters. Do we have to make it bigger next time?
Yes.
Okay.
Bigger, red, with sparkles. Get your glitter.
I'll get out the glitter next time.
So... We're going to start with some of the biggest news of the week, which we'll get to the WWE 2K roster update, don't worry. But a couple just sort of housekeeping notes to start off with. Lillian Garcia announced this week that she is leaving WWE. Her departure is to take care of her ailing father. He has, I believe, two forms of cancer?
He has some sort of a form of cancer that he is fighting once again. She left a few weeks ago to be with him, and then she came back. And now she's going to stay permanently away from WWE, get work closer to home. That way she can be with him as often as she can. She has to work here and there, but it'll be very close to where she's at, so she doesn't have to be flying every single week.
Yeah, so sad to see Lillian go, even sadder to know that she's having to take care of her father. You never want to hear that somebody's having to deal with a sick relative like that. You want everybody to stay happy and healthy for as long as they can. So best of luck to Lillian. Best of luck to her father. I hope he makes a full recovery.
Agreed. It sucks that she had to leave under the circumstances, but she's had a long and great career with WWE. Will we see her back? Never say never, but I think it's the end of the line for Lillian Garcia at this point in WWE. But hopefully her father is able to beat the dreaded C word and continues to live on.
It's because in the immortal world, words of JSK, fuck cancer.
Exactly.
And as one person leaves, another person resigns. It was announced on Monday, conveniently enough. Right before Raw, Paul Heyman has reached a new deal with WWE, and so he has re-signed. He will be back at the Beast side just in time for SummerSlam.
How convenient.
Funny how that works! No word on what exactly Heyman was promised, or what Heyman is getting, or what he wanted. I think all those details will slowly come out. But the good news is, Paul Heyman is staying on for a little while longer, so yay!
He is staying on, he'll be around as long as Brock is probably around, and then some, because it's Paul Heyman, and he likes his job with WWE.
Yes, he does.
It's a good platform for him to, you know, use to get visibility for his other platform.
Yes, and he has a lot.
Everything from Yahoo to the Heyman Hustle, and everything and beyond.
He's a busy man. Busy man.
Looking Larry Productions as well, so, yeah.
Yeah. Paul, you can sign us. We're available.
We are available.
We'll do birthdays and bar mitzvahs.
Mazel tov.
At least one of us is Jewish, so, you know. Hey?
Hey.
Couple of other quick housekeeping notes. Came out that Rosa Mendez is back to training at the WWE Performance Center. This is her start of her comeback after having her baby earlier this year, so congratulations to Rosa on starting her comeback. And while one comeback is starting, another one might be stalled. We told you last week Nikki Bella had been cleared to start working in the ring, but it seems she's not fully cleared to start her comeback.
She's not cleared to wrestle, but she's cleared to get into the ring and train. She was in the ring last week with Bayley, trying to figure things out, trying to get back into ring shape, as it were. So she's not fully clear to, you know, get back in the ring, compete today, probably a few weeks away from that point. They're continuing to keep an eye on her neck to see if the fusion will hold and that she doesn't injure anything else in the process of learning, once again, the training. And everyone who keeps going back to the performance center starts the training, everyone posts a picture of their back, or rather their side, how it's all ripped up. She was also one of them who was fortunate enough to get ripped up by the ropes, because, you know, running the ropes is hard.
Yes, running the ropes is very hard, but she's making her way back, so everybody that thinks Nikki Bella is going to show up next week, No, this is going to take a while for her to come back. She probably has to learn how to rebump with her neck.
See if the neck can take it.
So they're probably having her work strictly on back and front and all those fun bumps to find out what her body can take and what it can't.
If you look back at the rehab of Seth Rollins, it took him, 2 months to get actually clear to get back in the ring?
Yeah.
So it's going to take Nikki a while.
Because he had to regain the strength in his leg. So I imagine she's got to regain the strength in her neck and her shoulders to be able to take the bumps. Because she hasn't bumped in probably a year.
Since October. Yeah.
So almost a year. So yeah, she's got to work it back in and break her body back in and figure things out. So it's probably going to take her, I would say, easy 2 months. 6 weeks, somewhere in there, to figure out if this is something that she can continue to do, or if her body just can't take it. Because it's going to take some time to figure out if she can't take it or not. Because obviously that first time getting in the ring, she's going to hurt afterwards because it's been a while. So it's going back and doing it every day in that constant cycle and grind of what wrestling is, and see just how her body handles it.
And if she wants her body to handle it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be she decides, I think I'm good with where I stopped. I don't think that's going to be the case, but she could decide, hey, this isn't for me anymore, or hey, I don't think I can take this, or the doctors might go, look, your neck's not going to hold, and they may not clear her.
And that's always the key.
And that's always the key. So this is, at this point for her, it's wait and see. So hopefully she gets good news, hopefully her neck holds, and hopefully she's back, but we'll have to see. And since we're on the topic of injuries and comebacks and everything else, should we do the return segment?
Right, let's dust it off. It's time for
bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Yes, we had the return of Blame Rock last week. This week we have the return of Blaine Brent. Paige has been pulled from all upcoming tours, and I believe ring work due to a supposed shoulder injury.
She is suffering from shoulder and back injuries.
Hashtag Blame Brent.
That is, she is currently rehabbing at this point, so she has been pulled from the Australia tour. As she is in the process of recovering, she posted a video on Instagram a few days ago of trying to get strengthening her shoulder and back. So it'll be a few more weeks, at least a couple more weeks, before she is back in the ring. I believe she has a doctor's appointment on the 15th of this month to get an update on the progress she is making with her shoulder and back. So we'll see what happens then. There's a lot of stories going around about Paige, but she's pulled off the road because of the injuries, not anything else.
Yes. Jimmy Uso has also suffered an injury.
Jimmy Uso suffers from a mysterious injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Yeah, and no word on what it actually is, but it says that he's hurting some way, shape, or form.
He was supposed to be back this week. He was not. So the mysterious injury continues to be our thing.
And finally, Booker T.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Had tricep surgery while trying to perform the spinneroni, which he has now officially announced has been retired.
Because he can't do it anymore.
He's too old to do the spinneroni, where you spin on your ass and then screw up your tricep. Yay, Booker T, go. And finally, one more. Bray Wyatt.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Brent, dude, why? Why, man, why? Why you gotta do that to me? He just came back. For those noting, it's not a serious injury, it seems. If you watch SmackDown, there's a point in the match with Dolph Ziggler where Bray comes up weird. He's limping in pain. He can't put any weight on his ankle. They go to break. They come back. He's back to wrestling. It seems that Bray Wyatt's probably hyperextended or sprained his ankle.
Sprained ankle is the diagnosis.
On SmackDown, when Dolph took him for the roll-up and he didn't quite get his ankle in the right place or didn't get his foot in the right place, and so, well, things twisted and sprained. So, a word is right now, Bray is going to be okay. He has not been pulled from any appearances. Like I said, he finished the match on SmackDown and he was fine. I believe he wants to continue working. They did want to stop the match on SmackDown, but he refused.
These are all facts.
Because you know that's who Bray Wyatt is. I can just picture them chasing around, him going, nope, nope, fine, fine, it's totally fine, it's fine, see, I can walk on it, doesn't hurt, fine, the entire time.
He wrestled The Undertaker with a screwed up ankle. He's gonna wrestle Dolph Ziggler.
He's gonna stop screwing up his calf and his ankle, man. He just gotta stop with that.
Yes, he does.
Stop, Bray, stop.
So that was this week's edition of
Hashtag Blame Brent.
Let's see. Where to go from here?
WWE has signed former Baltimore Raven Brennan Williams to a contract. He'll be starting with the Performance Center very soon.
All right. Another quick note. Lana and Rusev got married.
They had a circus.
They had a circus and they had a wedding. Yes, this past Friday, they taped the Lana Rusev episode of Total Divas where they do get married. So it was the quote-unquote TV wedding. They're actually having two. First one is for Total Divas. The second one will be in Rusev's homeland of Bulgaria. More than likely that will be intimate with friends and family only. But congratulations to Rusev and Lana. Look forward to seeing the episode.
And we'll review it on the Rack Extra Total Divas this fall.
Ding! And speaking of TV shows, Fox has officially renewed John Cena's American Grit.
Totally,
second season.
Totally surprised by this one.
Any content.
Fox likes John Cena. That's basically it.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Because he's willing to go and be Hillary Clinton on the Teen Choice Awards for comedy.
Because why not?
Because he's John Cena. Mr. Blue.
Mr. Blue. Let's see.
P. Diddy will be hosting Monday Night Raw this coming Monday night. in Anaheim, California.
Yay. And, well, Edge was supposed to appear SummerSlam weekend, but it appears he's going to have to pull out due to his Viking TV schedule. So, boo, but he is being replaced by Chris Jericho, and he and Jericho and Christian and Jericho are going to be doing something together.
They're going to be doing a live Talk is Jericho podcast from Caroline's Comedy Club. Edge and Christian were supposed to be doing something at Caroline's together, a Q&A with the fans, and because of his commitments, he had to pull out at the last minute. He tried to make it work, but he would be over in the UK and could not make it back in time to do the appearance, or has to be over in the UK, something to that matter, so he's unable to make this appearance. He hates pulling out of appearances, but this one has to be pulled from.
And that stinks. I know Edge did try to make it work. I know he wanted to make it work, but, well, sadly he couldn't. So, frowny face.
Frowny
Can't
face.
See it, but frowny face.
Frowny face. Yeah.
And, well, I know you want to rant on this. I want to rant on this. But Daniel Bryan let it slip. He's a good general manager like that.
A couple times this week.
That SmackDown will not only be getting their own tag team belts, but they are getting their own women's title as well, which has been speculated since the brand split started, as they made the current tag titles and the current women's title exclusive to Raw.
Okay, so I don't have as big a problem with the tag team titles, because it's the tag team titles, and they want to put it on American Alpha. I get that. That's fine. Okay, I'm accepting of the tag team title. After watching Monday Night Raw the last 2 weeks, and how important the belt has become, I don't understand splitting the women's championship, because it's being felt like it's a world championship right now, and splitting it up, giving SmackDown its own women's championship, will be devaluing what they have accomplished with the new women's championship. I don't like this idea.
I don't like the idea from the simple standpoint of right now, each roster only has 6 women on it. Each roster, I think, only has 6 tag teams on it. You're going to give each roster its own individual tag team title and women's title. It's going to get really old really fast, especially in the tag division, where you have a limited number of teams on each show and only so many people can feud at any given time with each other before you start to see the repeats. Usos Dudleys being a prime example of that. And also, just another prime example, Hornswoggle and El Torito. That wonderful, 8-month feud that we got between those two, where they were literally the only two people that could fight.
Still the only two people that can fight, as they're fighting for a House of Hardcore here in a few weeks.
Yep. Getting it again!
It's gonna happen again.
But yeah, I understand why they want to do it. They want to do a firm, hard split between the two shows where you don't want people going back and forth. But I think that's where it adds the intrigue, because then it's, okay, well, Charlotte can be on Raw, she can be on SmackDown. She doesn't have to be there every week. But it puts more importance on the women's title and the tag titles, because it adds that level of competition between the two shows of who has the title at any given time.
And Man's bringing this up in the chat room. He's extremely worried that they might put the first SmackDown Women's Championship on Eva Marie.
Oh, that's a definite worry.
That is a definite worry, because it's a very definite possibility, because she's going to become the face of the SmackDown Women's Division. Just watch it happen.
She's in line for a major, major push. So yeah, that's more than a concern. That's a reality. That's coming.
That's coming. So again, it's going to devalue of the championship, because the women's championship has become something where you want them to fight for it, and the girls have done a great job in the last year taking the Divas Championship, merging it to the women's championship, and actually creating it as an important championship. And now having two, it will devalue the belt, and I don't like this fact. I didn't like it from the beginning, because you go back into the SmackDown and Raw era from before, when you had two women's championships, it's just, here's a belt, because especially, and here's the biggest problem, when you have the 4 joint pay-per-views a year, when one belt's not defended, it's going to seem less important.
And eventually, with the brand split, they retired the women's title, and they just had the Divas Championship, because they did let the brand split lapse a little bit. And so it was the Divas Champion eventually did appear on both shows.
But that took a long time.
It took a long time. It took them, I think,
8-9 years.
Took them 8-9 years, but still, it just makes more sense to me to not go that road of splitting the titles.
At least not yet. A year or two from now. Okay. That's okay. In a year or two.
if you built up the women's rosters on both shows in a year or two, then yeah, I can see that. But again, you have six women on each show. That's it.
Right.
How many times can you have them vie for the title?
Right, and they're probably going to end up with eight women on each show. That's what will eventually happen.
It's still not enough.
It's still not enough, because now, if you had 16 women fighting for one championship, how important is that title? Very important. When you have eight, it's not so much. And it's just, it's a big mistake. Because now, it's like, in the WWE sense of the world, you're going to have Eva Marie's SmackDown Women's Championship is going to be the same on the same level as Sasha's Women's Championship, and Eva's not on the same level as Sasha. And it's going to devalue what Sasha...
It's going to devalue what a lot of them are doing, because, you know, I think, and this is not meant to be a shot of SmackDown, but SmackDown has the weaker women's roster. They cherry-picked who they wanted for Raw, because Raw got Sasha, Raw got Charlotte, Raw will get Bayley, and they took the more less established divas in Carmella, Eva Marie, and brought them up. And this isn't to knock women like Naomi or Becky who are on SmackDown. I consider them the cornerstones. I consider them the top tier of the women's division, both of them. And if anybody deserves to get that title, it's either Naomi or Becky. Either one. Will not complain with either before Eva gets it. But I guarantee you Eva will get that title first.
Eva's definitely going to get that title first.
Which I think is a mistake, and this is not to say that Eva doesn't deserve it, because Eva has worked very hard to get back to the main roster, I'm sure. But it's, you want, to be frank, because I'm just going to spit it out, Eva Marie is a joke. Eva Marie is viewed as a joke. Let's all be completely 100% honest. By the majority of the audience, because she does have her fans, and there's nothing wrong with that, but for the majority of the audience, people look at Eva, and they see her as a joke. They don't take her seriously. So it's like, you're really going to put the title on somebody that the majority of the audience does not take seriously. You're going to make the SmackDown women's title a joke right from the start. And it's going to go back to the way that it was. That's the problem. Where nobody cares about the women's title because it's a joke.
They've taken a lot of steps forward this year. Let's not go backwards.
Yeah, they've made huge strides with the women's title over the last year. And to see it go backwards, to see the women be treated like they were, and it's already starting to go backwards. Like, you can see them kind of backing off it a little bit, at least on SmackDown.
Well, kind of, sort of, not really, because they're trying to get the new characters involved, and they were setting up programs on SmackDown this week.
They're setting up programs. I'm still willing to give it a chance, but it feels like they're starting to backpedal a little bit on SmackDown, whereas on Raw, you know, you had Charlotte and Sasha turn in a match of the year candidate for the women's title.
They don't have confidence in the girls just yet on SmackDown.
No, because the majority of them are new on SmackDown, and then you have Becky and Naomi holding down the division, and it's like Becky, they've been jobbing out, and Naomi's been hurt.
Right, and the only one who's still on a consistent basis is Natty, and there's only so far Natty can carry the division. So it's like, her role is to make the new girls, and over time, she's going to help make those new girls. Right now, it's just, I like Alexa, and I think I like Carmella. I think they have potential. I think Alexa has a little more potential as a worker than Carmella does. Alexa, if done right, could be a strong heel over someone like Eva Marie, because Alexa can carry it on the mic and in the ring. She has athletic ability. It's the only way to make this belt seem important is if you put it on the right people. And you have to do it by building every single one contender around the person. That's the only way it'll work. And they're a long way. Thankfully, Brian's like, we're not rushing to bring in a title, which is good, because they need to establish the division first. It has to be created. They have a blank slate in front of them. They have to create the new division.
And I'm happy about that they're not rushing to the women's title. They're not rushing to the tag titles. It's like, yes, this will be an eventuality that we create these and we have these on the show. But right now, we're focusing on building the show and building the brand, which they should be. And really, the main focus of SmackDown should be the World Heavyweight Championship right now.
Which we'll talk about later in the show.
Which we'll talk about later in the show, and also the IC title.
Which they're doing an okay job focusing it on the show. But they gotta establish all these new characters, and until you do that, the belts won't mean anything. Again, if you're bringing the belt a year from now, when all the girls are established, we know all eight girls, fine. But if in 2 months, at Backlash, we have the belt, it's not going to be, the belt won't have any meaning.
Right.
Because if you look at it, the women's belt had meaning because they fought 6 months to try to establish the Divas Revolution and make it a women's championship.
Exactly. Because they went out there and they turned in matches on par with the guys, and they just kicked butt.
They did, and if you watched 2 weeks ago, they stole the show.
They did.
Away from a fantastic four-way and a great main event. They stole the show. That's the bottom line on that.
Yep. So we'll just have to see how that goes. But, well, now I say we jump into the roster reveal for WWE 2K17.
WWE 2K17 has started to announce its roster on IGN every Tuesday, and we're going to recap it here for you right now. The stars that have been announced on this new roster reveal include Aiden English, Booker T, Brian Pillman, Brie Bella, talk about her in a second, Chris Jericho, Diego, Eric Rowan, Fernando, the one-man band Heath Slater, Jay Uso, Jimmy Uso, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Connor, Larry Zbysko, Nikki Bella, R-Truth, Simon Gotch, the Ultimate Warrior, and Victor. These are the people who have been announced. They've revealed some screenshots of it as well.
And it looks sick. The face scans are so much better. And it's just, you look at 16 and you look at 17, and 16 you can tell where they were pioneering the whole face scan technology. And the scans were there and the faces were good, but it's like if you just look at the comparison of Brock Lesnar side by side, you see the really subtle differences in the face and in the body, and just it looks much more realistic. It looks more natural than what it did last year. And the same goes for the women, where it's like you look at Brie Bella. Brie Bella looks so much better this year in the game than she did last year. Like, there was just some weird stuff going on with her face. Whereas this year, it looks much more natural. Same goes for Nikki Bella. The only characters in the game that were revealed where we actually got to see what they looked like in the game were Brock and the Bellas and a handful of others. They're releasing these, like, carnival teaser images that are a mashup to let you know of who's in the game, and you have to kind of figure it out. And it's really cool. It's a really neat way to do the reveal, because then you just sort of pick stuff out as you go. So it's like one of those hidden mystery kind of things, which is awesome. But yeah, so at least Eric's in the game. I'm excited for Eric. Yay! But I'm worried he's going in by himself. Even though he reunited with his father in SmackDown, and that made me so happy. So happy. You're going to have to deal with me talking about Eric for a minute because, well, he's abandoned me and I have nothing else to say on the game. So, I'm just going to say, so proud of Eric. He came in. He helped Bray. The Wyatt family's not lost, y'all. The Wyatt family lives. Eric Rowan and Bray Wyatt are back together. Eric is not going to get lost in the shuffle. I'm very, very happy right now. Because, you know, Eric is all the things.
Eric is all the things now.
Yes, and you're back.
And I'm back from coughing. So, the one other thing I want to add to the game was, they revealed something in the entrance, where you can probably fight in the crowd, which is a feature they had a long, long time ago, before 2K took over and it was on an old gen. So they brought it back into the new gen, which should be really, really cool. And you mentioned a couple things about the faces. The chin. The Bellas had a chin, and they have really big chins, and you can tell they have chins.
Yes. Yes, they do. They have very defined chins.
That they do. So it's one of those things like, oh, they have chins. Okay, cool. But yeah, their faces look more natural, as you mentioned. So that'll be really cool. And we'll continue to update you on all the progress that's being made in the game. But yeah, so far so good. And I wish they showed more of the characters instead of posters, because I like to see the characters better.
Yeah, the posters were nice.
Before we go to break, we just got a tweet.
You just got a tweet?
We got a tweet. They have a question for us. Did you guys see the Total Bellas preview?
Oh, who tweeted that?
Ashley Sanders.
Oh, yes, Ashley. Oh, yes. We saw that. Do we even want to talk about that?
You can talk about anything you want.
I am scared for Nikki Bella's mental health. And let me tell you why. Okay? So, we've seen John and Nikki on Total Divas. John is a bit...
Controlling.
Demanding. Particular. He's a bit particular on Total Divas. He likes things done a certain way. It's his house. So he has certain rules for his house. We all do. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with
respect it.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
So in the Total Bellas trailer, we have John laying down more rules for the house for his house guests because we have Mama Bella and Mr. Laurinaitis, people power, the brother and I believe his wife, and Daniel and Bree and Josie all staying with John while Nikki has her neck surgery done. And he lays out, you know, the following rules, which, one, respect the house as if it's your own. Okay, totally fine. So he cites the example of, so if leaving towels on the floor isn't your thing, don't do it here.
Hold okay. on, hold on. We'll just, let's just listen to the thing.
Yeah, and just listen.
Yeah, we'll listen to the thing and we'll go from there.
Coming to E! This October.
We don't know if you'll ever get back in the ring, which means the Bella twins will probably never get back in the ring.
The Bellas and their fellas are out of the ring.
Bree, will you think about moving here for 3 months and living in the guest house?
And into the suburbs.
This is your guys' home. Welcome.
These are the house rules. It's very simple. Respect the house as if it was your own. And if your habits are leaving your towels on the floor, then change your habits and respect ours. Formal dinner once every week, usually on Wednesday. Every morning, we will have morning coffee together. We will have an evening fire outside. If you guys are going to be up late, please text me or tell me. Do you have any questions?
Sometimes you think things are a great idea, and then when it really happens, you're like, oh, shit.
I wonder if I'm the first girl in a tube top at the goat farm.
Josie, come here. She bit you?
It's just not acceptable.
I feel like there's so many damn rules. You're in our home.
Do you think we can really handle this?
I feel like I'm trapped. Like,
you're trapped.
Of living in a padded cell.
From the creators of Total Divas, Total Bellas, a brand new series coming to Wednesdays this October, only on E!
Okay, so like I was saying, respect the rules of the house. Totally get that. Having a curfew. Again, understand that John Cena probably gets up early. He probably goes to bed a little early. So if you're going to be up partying, he at least wants to know so he can put in earplugs or doesn't call the cops or whatever. Because it is his house. You know, totally understand that aspect of this. The bonfire nightly, the formal dinner, and getting up every morning to have coffee together. What? Like, what? Anal much? And the way he said it, like the tone that he said it, was just, we're doing it. This is not a request. This is a, oh, you'll think about it. No, we're doing this. And if you fail to do this, you're screwed. It sounds almost like it's boot camp. Like luxury boot camp, but boot camp. And I think Brie Bella did an interview talking about it, or that we found before the show, where she was saying that, yeah, there are more rules, like, you have to make your bed every day, and there were rules for the dog, and he checks up on it.
He may not be on the show often, but he was there to enforce the law.
Which, again, it's his house, so he wants to make sure the rules of his house are being respected. I get that, but it's like, you listen to that, and it kind of makes me worry about Nikki Bella on a whole new level, because if those are the rules for guests, what are the rules for her? Like, if he's that demanding for a guest, what does he do to her? I mean, as we've seen on Total Divas, she's really kind of almost emotionally dependent on John at this point. And she's very isolated with John because her sister and her mother and her brother are all out in Arizona. And she's in Tampa, generally. But she does go out to Arizona, so she's not completely cut off from her family. But it's just like, we've seen a definite change in Nikki Bella. And that's why I worry about her. So it's like, this show, this is going to be interesting.
And yes, to answer the question that was just tweeted, the Rack Extra Total Bellas will be a thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing, y'all. We watched that trailer and it's like, oh yes, yes, we have to talk about this. Yes.
It's going to be a weekly thing starting the week of October 5th.
Yes. Total Divas and Total Bellas, covering both, because Total Bellas, need to see it, need to discuss it, because there will be more conversations like this, but yes, very worried about Nikki Bella after seeing that trailer on a lot of levels. So hopefully he's not what I'm thinking. Hopefully he's not as controlling and as anal as that trailer makes him out to be. But I don't think that's the case. But that's for another time. So I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you think?
Yeah.
So when we come back, we are talking all things NXT. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back. Hey There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs, because yes, things are about to get glorious.
Glorious.
We are about to be victorious because we are talking NXT.
Because it's glorious.
It was glorious because points!
And she starts off with points as coming to the ring to open up a show is Sean Maluta as he took on the returning Hideo Itami.
He's back!
So this... Go ahead.
It was so nice to see Hideo back.
The announcers put over how Hideo's missed some opportunity since being away from NXT, how NXT exploded while he was gone. Maluta hit a nice co-breaker on Hideo. Coming off the middle rope, took control of the match. Hideo has a pretty nasty scar on his shoulder.
Yeah, he does.
You can see they opened that sucker up.
They had to. I don't think they had a choice.
Because he had two surgeries on it. Hideo hit all his big moves, the hesitation dropkick, and the running knee for the win. Your winner, Hideo, he's back.
Go, Hideo, go!
We are backstage. The Revival were asked if there's any pressure on them. They are a Ford Bronco, and they are the best tag team on the planet. At this point, TM61 showed up, and so the planet is a big place. They have traveled all over and challenged the best. They challenged Revival to a match. Revival says they need to grab a ticket to get to the back of the line. Gargano Ciampa come up and say they have a ticket with the number one on it. Says it doesn't matter if they beat the Revival, because, you know, apparently the Revival doesn't want to give them a shot. Maybe they're scared?
Oh.
Revival says they already promised these guys, points TM61 to a fight. Top guys leave now, and the other two teams argue, you know, who's at the start top of the line. So, yeah, good stuff right there.
Great stuff. Great stuff. I'm digging Gargano and Ciampa. By the way, if you didn't see it, everybody go watch the Cruiserweight Classic this week, because Gargano and Ciampa lit it up.
That's what I hear.
It's supposedly super good. Everybody go check it out.
Yes, I'm going to try to check it out this weekend. Mojo Rawley took on Chris Atkins. Quick pounce, then Joe came into the ring and, well, pounced on Mojo and Atkins, beating them both up. Joe said he doesn't need to consult with Regal to rampage all over his show, because Regal won't consult with him, who should be number one contender, since he will destroy Shinsuke Nakamura. Mojo then attacks Samoa Joe. Mojo left. Joe attacked him and choked him out, screaming, "I'm the champ." I like Rampage Joe.
I love Rampage Joe, because points.
Let's see. Hideo, TM61, Joe, just points all over the place. For the time being.
For the time being.
Bailey is backstage and he's asked what to do to not be choked out next time. She says she's not the same person she was in Dallas. She's been pushed and pushed, and it's time for her to adapt. She's been watching Asuka's every move, ready to take her title back. Asuka appears and says, "You think you're ready? Come watch." Bailey's like, "All right, I will." So Bailey comes to do some commentary. It's Asuka versus Aaliyah. Before the match starts, Asuka grabs a chair and puts a seat on the ramp and told Bailey, "Sit." She did that point. Went, "Sit.
Yep.
You sit here." So Bailey saw the chair, threw the chair, and stood there watching. Aaliyah tried to keep up with Asuka, but was not to be. Hip attacks, kicks, slaps, you name it. It all happened. Asuka lock. Asuka wins. Bailey came in to check on Aaliyah. Asuka held the title up in the face of Bailey. I like this turn of Asuka a little bit.
I'm digging heel Asuka. I'm really digging heel Asuka.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Asuka and Bailey, this is going to be off the charts. I cannot wait.
It'll be happening at TakeOver. Ember Moon will also be debuting at TakeOver as well.
I'm not sure what Ember Moon is, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
She's a female.
Is she?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Someone, Ember Moon. She's a girl from the Indies. They signed. You're going to look her up now, aren't you?
Yes.
So as you look her up, I'll talk about the debut of the glorious Bobby Roode. He goes the way his family over. Bobby Roode is NXT. He talked about being in Dallas a few months ago, says he can't explain the emotions he had that night. 10,000 screaming fans. Mania weekend. It was the biggest weekend in WWE. He knew that NXT was the best place for him. Says there's been no other company that has revolutionized the business quite like NXT. Shot. He talked about the phrase, "We are NXT," and even included the fans. Says to take NXT to the next level, to do that, that's where he comes in. Says NXT needs Bobby Roode. Says all of us need Bobby Roode. Says NXT Universe has been searching the world for a superstar to expand beyond the brand, or expand the brand rather, to a global powerhouse. Says they found them, that superstar. That superstar is Bobby Roode. Now they have found that man. Says he will his face will be on billboards, commercials. He will be everywhere. He's going to take this company to the next level. He's going to take it to corporate America. To Wall Street. He's going to make this place a better place. Then very soon, he will see faces of presidents and vice presidents of Fortune 500 companies, business people, instead of these losers in ripped jeans and cargo pants and their t-shirts. Says, "I am a superstar, and only for things I have done, but for the way I look. From his suits to his shoes to his socks to his watch, Bobby Roode is a superstar. Whether you like it or not, there has been no one as glorious as Bobby Roode. This is the new NXT. I am at the helm. For this moment forward will be glorious." So you watch this and you go, he's too babyface.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the turn? Where's the turn?
Yeah. Where's the Bobby Roode we know and love? Where is he?
And he showed up.
And the second he did, it's like, there's Bobby! Side note, figure out who Ember Moon is. Very excited now. Very, very, very excited. Well, I didn't know who it was!
Well, now you do.
It was that mysterious promo kind of thing, and you don't know what it is. It's like, is it a guy? Is it a girl? I don't know. I can't keep track of everybody they sign, because they sign a lot of people.
Now you know.
Now I know. Very excited. This is going to be sick. But back to Bobby Roode. Very happy about Bobby. Very, very, very happy that he's being the face. He's taking shots at a certain other company he worked for. Very proud of him for that. And then it's like he just makes a right turn at Albuquerque, right into Roodesville, and he's just like, "I'm home." And he just goes off. Like, there's Bobby. There he is. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be glorious. I can't wait for more Bobby Roode.
It's going to be glorious.
I I'm so happy to see him on TV. Because points.
TM61 took on the Revival. This was a solid matchup between the two teams. The ending saw the Revival have won the dudes. Miller, I think it was, come run around the ring, and they caught him with a DDT. Nice teamwork right there for the win. The Revival then talked about this is the big leagues. They are the big leagues. They are the top guys in NXT. They beat TM61. Enzo and Cass fought villains. American Alphix, Ciampa, and Gargano then interrupt. They mocked them as, you know, you beat the Andersons. And then, you know, they are mocked them as the Andersons. And then picked up the name drops they dropped. Like American Alpha, the Hollywood Blondes, Kermit the Frog, and Miss Piggy, Pikachu, and Charmander?
Pokemon. They got a Pokemon chant.
Asked if they collected them all. All he said he's concerned with collecting is the NXT tag team title. Says the one team you haven't dropped are Gargano and Ciampa. There. The champs say, you're all spewing his words. We have more than that. Top guys out. They go to leave. They went for an attack. Gargano and Ciampa then left them laying. Even did a mock pin. This was good.
This is really, really, really good. Again, love Gargano and Ciampa. Very, very, very excited for this.
But that was NXT.
That was NXT. Very, very solid show. Looking forward to next week.
Which will be a contract signing between Asuka and Bayley.
Who's going through the table?
Bayley.
Bayley. Unless they have the itty-bitty teeny-tiny table, and they just, you know, come to that acceptance of they're just going to fight it out, so we're not going to get a big table. So we'll have to see. Will it be a big table? Who's going through the table? So many questions. But I say we take our second and final break of the evening. What do you say?
Let's do it.
So, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And when we come back, we've got Tweet of the Week. And we are going to be talking about the number one contender for Dean Ambrose's title at SummerSlam, Dolph Ziggler. You don't want to miss it. So, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
It has returned.
I am looking for Sarah Card. Oh God, wrong house.
This is so not safe.
WTR Riffs presents the final deletion.
Oh my god, there's like an army of drones!
Ah!
Oh dear god!
That's not the kind of riding you're supposed to do on a lawnmower.
Jeff,
no.
Okay, I'm starting to think that these guys have more money than sense.
What am I looking at?
Jeffrey Nero, what are you doing?
Oh, this is a bad idea. This is a really bad idea.
Why do you always try to kill your brother with fireworks?
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
Thank God, it's over.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news!
You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa, I mean, it's amazing.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This August, relive the best matches in SummerSlam history, in video game form.
To the greatest of all time, will suffer their first SummerSlam loss in a one-on-one match here tonight.
Subscribe now to youtube.com/trackradioshow to witness 21 days of SummerSlam history in video game form.
John Cena has held the WWE title 11 times. Daniel Bryan has never held the gold. And the question is, for Daniel Bryan, tonight, will he become the next John Cena? Will he become the next Rock? Or will he become the first Daniel Bryan?
Don't miss it this August only at youtube.com/trackradioshow.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Theater Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. And a huge hello to the folks listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com. If you're just joining us, you missed our news and you missed our NXT recap, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Renee Young, peace out, Pokemon. I want my Tamagotchi back.
I want a Tamagotchi back, too.
Cesaro Scorpio tweeted Baron Corbin and said, "Hey, Baron Corbin, you're a professional wrestler." I should point out he used Y-O-U-R instead of Y-O-U-R-E. Just saying. Lift some weights or do a sit-up. Good God. Hashtag SmackDown Live. Hashtag overrated. To which Baron Corbin replied, "It's your girl's fault. She keeps bringing cookies over late at night." Somebody get some ice for that burn. Tom Phillips. Somewhere, Corey Graves is calling an ambulance on behalf of Eva Marie. Hashtag SmackDown Live. Jason the IRF tweeted Baron Corbin, said, "You're not a bad guy. You're not a good guy. You're the guy that nobody wants to follow." And Baron Corbin replies, "Did you follow me and tweeted me? You should feel dumb." Renee Young. "If someone reclines their chair in front of me on a flight, I take it as a personal slight. The adult version of a ponytail whip in the eyes." And that's all I have.
Will Wheaton. Fox News. Hillary Clinton plagiarizes Chumbawamba. Young Bucks tweeted, "Young Bucks are permanent and cannot be deleted." Matt Hardy replied, I will gnaw off both your feet and wear them around my neck as trophies. My lucky Bucks feet. Anything you do to stop the super kick from the Young Bucks will be greatly appreciated, Matt. Bailey, anyone have a time machine I can borrow? Take me back to, like, 1 week ago? Sasha, do you want me to kidnap you to Raw or nah? Bailey's like, I thought you'd never ask. Please, I'll carry your luggage, get you coffee, catch your Pokemon. It's Sasha Banks. I like what I hear. Xavier Woods replied, sorry, it's Bailey. I let you use mine, but, at WWE Drama King destroyed it. Aiden English replied, he stole my keyboard to make it.
Guys, stop.
Katie Lindahl, R is for Raw. Respect and rent money for Evan Enderholm. Goldust just beat at Dakota Runnels 22 and took over the gym. Hashtag Daddy Daughter Day. Hashtag Love Your Daughter. Hashtag Team Valor. She replied, when you're minding your own business and your dad takes over your gym, not cool at Goldust. Hashtag Team Instinct. Hashtag Love Him Though. Goldust replied, you weren't minding your own business. You're sitting right next to me. LOL. I love it. Becky Lynch. If anyone wants to have a match tonight, come find me. Hashtag Becky Balboa. Hashtag SmackDown Live. Bailey tweeted an emoticon emoji with a hand raised. She's like, Becky's like, how fast can you get here? Bailey's like, in less than 13 minutes. Becky's like, I still have my gear on.
Because you know.
Bailey really wants to be on this main roster.
He really wants to be on the main roster.
And Lindsay, you know, what's coming up soon? What type of season are we about to enter?
Fall.
And in the fall, it brings what sport?
Foosball.
Not Tony Romo tweeted. Updated status of the Cowboys roster. Injured. Half the team. Suspended. The other half. Fat. Me.
It's that time of year where Rock's going to take shots at the Cowboys again.
Hey, it was only one, and that's Tweet of the Week.
More to follow. I'm sure.
Hey, just because someone put a picture of fat Tony Romo out there, you know, and then he had to do a news conference saying he wasn't fat, and other people on the team take purple drink, you know, it writes itself.
Right.
It does. It's not my fault.
I just love how you have to justify it, because he's not listening. He's totally not listening right now.
No, he's not. He'll listen to this on the archive, on the podcast, which you can get on iTunes at any time, Sir Track Radio Show.
Brent, you need to listen to this live. It's more fun when you listen to it live. Then we can get the live reaction. We have to wait till Saturday now. It's not fun. It sucks. But now, since that's Tweet of the Week, we are going to talk about Dolph Ziggler in regards to his title shot at SummerSlam.
And the question you posed is what?
Why? Why Dolph Ziggler? It's not that I have anything personal against Dolph Ziggler. It's not that I don't like Dolph Ziggler. I like Dolph Ziggler. I think he's a wonderful performer. I think he's great at what he does. I'm just at this point, I feel Dolph has kind of had his time, and it's come and gone. Dolph was really hot 2 years ago. So why are we just now getting to Dolph? Why are we rebuilding Dolph?
Which leads to the question, is it worth it to rebuild Dolph Ziggler at this point heading into SummerSlam? The answer is yes, it is worth rebuilding Dolph Ziggler because he's on the SmackDown brand. Because he's one of the only few people on the SmackDown brand. That's the logical answer to that question. Yes, it's worth it because they need a star. But do they need Dolph Ziggler as that star? To me, to Lindsay, it's sort of that point where it's like, Dolph Ziggler has had that spotlight. Dolph Ziggler is a two-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion, or just World Heavyweight Champion, whatever you want to call it. He had the big gold belt twice. Once for a day, and then once for a while.
You really can't count the first time.
Okay, but they call him a two-time world champion.
Yes, he's technically a two-time champion, although the first time doesn't really count because Vicky stripped it off of Edge and gave it to Dolph. So he didn't win it. He was given the title. The second time he won it through Money in the Bank, and he was at the start of a really good run. He was really hot. Everything was going great, and then he got a concussion. And then he was hurt. And he was hurt, and he was hurt, and eventually they had to, I think he came back and he lost the title?
He came back and lost the title to Alberto Del Rio.
And then I think he went back off TV to continue to recover, or he never really recovered after that. And there was a very long string and series of unfortunate events where Dolph opened his mouth and criticized the product, which, I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to criticize the product, but when you're doing it in press interviews and you're basically bashing the company in press interviews, that is not going to go over well, because they're not sending out there you out there to basically say, oh, you know, oh, I'm not happy, or I'm so much better, or I'm this, or I'm that. They're sending you out there to put the company over, to put whatever you're selling over, to put your opponent over, you know, to do all of that, to put the feud over. So there were several events that got him in trouble with that, and now we're kind of to where we are now, where Dolph was pushed down the car because of his comments, and from what I understand, there's been incidents since then backstage where he's, where he complains a lot.
Or doesn't listen to the advice people give him.
And I mean, like I said, Dolph Ziggler is a phenomenal performer. Not taking that away from him at all, but it's like, I feel like Dolph Ziggler hasn't changed in the last 5 years. Beyond his gear and his hair, Dolph Ziggler is pretty much exactly the same. He's doing the exact same thing he's always done. And to me, it's like, I want to see him do something different. I want to see him do something new. And he's starting to do that. He cut a really fantastic promo on SmackDown where he said that he's scraped and he's clawed to get where he is. And that's true to an extent. It's like, yes, you've climbed your way up the WWE roster once again to get here. But Dean Ambrose has had a longer and a harder climb than you have.
And Dean was basically like, we're not the same person. We're totally different. And Ziggler was trying to compare the two and say, we're the same. They're not the same.
No, they're not.
They're not. Dolph Ziggler reached the mountaintop, and then every time he gets knocked down, he blames other people. He blames the glass ceiling. He blames authority. He blames the powers that be that hold him down. If we're supposed to believe you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that this is a real competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is no one holding him down but himself. He's the one who loses his matches. It's not the booker who makes him lose. He loses the matches. So there's no one holding him down. He didn't beat so-and-so. He didn't beat so-and-so. It's not that the office said go lay down. In story perspective, he lost. And he would continue to lose. So the only one in reality story to blame is himself. But he blames the outside factors in it. Which, you know, gets you so far with the inside. Oh, see, he's saying, you know, see, he's telling us the truth. He's telling us, he's breaking the fourth wall. And Ziggler's right. You blamed everyone else for your problems. Or rather, Ambrose is right about it. It's like, you blame everyone else for your problems when it's, you just can't get it done. And to circle all the way back, Dolph wants to be Shawn Michaels. He's desperately trying to do everything that Shawn Michaels has ever done. Which is great to admire to. A great goal to be. Because Shawn Michaels was the greatest of all time. But Shawn had his boyhood dream and then didn't blame it, you know, doesn't clamor to be the underdog after that point. Dolph had his boyhood dream. He won the World Heavyweight Championship in the biggest moment, one of the biggest Raw hit moments in history. He had his moment. So now it's like you're trying to come across as an underdog. It's like, but you've done that. We've seen that. Do something different. Not everyone needs to be the underdog and held down. We've seen that. We've seen that story. There's only so many times you can tell that story before it's repetitive, especially on a person who accomplished the goal.
Well, it's not even that he accomplished the goal, it's that Dolph Ziggler isn't being held down. You know, Dolph Ziggler's main mission is to go out there and steal the show every night, and there's nobody stopping him from trying when he goes out there. It's, you know, it is not the situation like it was with the Authority, where they were pushing down people and they were holding them back and they were stopping wrestling.
He beat the Authority. Survivor Series. He beat the Authority.
He was the lone survivor. So it's like, you know, the whole Dolph, I'm an underdog, I'm this, I'm that. It's like, dude, it doesn't hold water. It just doesn't, because you're not. It's like it held water with Bryan and it held water with Ambrose, because Ambrose was, it's like Seth Rollins kept holding Ambrose back. Seth Rollins was the one that Dean could not get around, and then it was the Authority. It was like Seth and Roman and the Authority that Dean could not get around, and then Dean finally overcame everything to become the WWE champion.
Yeah, he overcame the odds. Dolph Ziggler's cocky, which cost him his matches against Baron Corbin. Was, you know, did WWE hold him down against Baron Corbin? No, he lost to Baron Corbin repeatedly. Are we supposed to forget that?
Yes.
Clearly we are.
My thing with it is it's like, I get why they're doing this.
I get it too.
It's they're, and this is part of my problem with it, is it's like, if you're going to build Ziggler up, build Ziggler up. Turn him into the star that he feels he should be, and let him sink or swim on his own talent.
You said a word there. Turn him. Let him be. Let him be cocky. Let him be the guy he wants to be. Let him be heel Ziggler. Turn him.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way this will work. He's not an underdog babyface. He's a cocky heel who likes to steal the show. Let him be that guy. If that's what your goal is, fine. Build him to that. But as an underdog babyface, nope.
And to get back to the point, it's, he's not even going to get that far as an underdog babyface, because I think the whole point of this is they needed someone for Ambrose for SummerSlam. The brand split got in the way. They're not going to sacrifice Bray Wyatt. They're not going to sacrifice AJ Styles. They're not going to sacrifice anybody else on the SmackDown roster to Dean Ambrose that's in a main event position, because they're holding those feuds for the other SmackDown pay-per-views heading into WrestleMania. Because we are gearing up now for WrestleMania. It's coming. And they need to make sure they have something spectacular planned for the show of shows for whomever the champion is when that day comes. It could be Ambrose. It could be somebody else. You don't know. But it's like Dolph Ziggler, I feel like, is a quick burn. They don't have anybody. They needed a contender. They found it in Dolph Ziggler. And they're going to do to Dolph what they did to Zach and what they did to Darren Young, which is they're going to build him up and then they're going to have him lose.
I ask this question every time we're in this position with a superstar. If so-and-so wins a championship, who do you want to see them fight? If Dolph Ziggler is the WWE World Champion, who do you want to see him fight? Is there a dream matchup out there that you're clamoring for as the match?
With Dolph Ziggler?
Yes.
No.
That's exactly. And that's...
Are you?
No, there's no one. That's my point. If there's no one you're clamoring to see the guy fight, then there's no reason to put a belt on him. That's... Because the belt means money. Who people want to come and see. Right now, there's no one you want to say, I want to see Dolph Ziggler versus so-and-so in the main event of a WrestleMania for a world championship. Because it doesn't exist right now. And that's the issue. And you can do the same thing with Zack Ryder if he would get the Intercontinental title or US title. It's all about the matches you can go once you win the title. If there isn't a proposed matchup that makes you go money, then what's the point?
The point is to get past SummerSlam and get to whatever the next SmackDown pay-per-view is. That's the point.
Backlash. And to get to Backlash. And I get that. And I, you know, hell, make this a three-way. It would be a probably more intriguing matchup if it was a three-way. But they're going to keep it as a singles, probably.
Well, the problem with it is you had the shot to make the three-way. They didn't do it. You jobbed out Bray Wyatt to Dolph Ziggler in an attempt to make Dolph Ziggler feel legitimate, which I applaud them for. It's like, you know, you had Dolph Ziggler beat the number two heel on the brand, which is solid.
Here, that's the booking was fine. And here's the funny thing. It was the best mic work Bray's done in a while. First of all, especially on his own in the ring,
mm-hmm.
It was great. Number two, when he asked the crowd, do you want to see Dolph Ziggler as the world champion? What did the crowd say?
No.
That answers the question.
Yeah, it's like the idea of Bray Wyatt taking Dolph Ziggler's place went over better than Dolph Ziggler staying in the match. And that's an indicator right there. And it's just, I think a lot of people are in the same position where it's like a lot of people really do like Dolph. A lot of people really do enjoy Dolph and what he does, but it's like I don't think anybody takes Dolph as a credible main eventer anymore just because of what all's been done with him and really his own presentation of himself. It's like, again, Dolph Ziggler is the same Dolph Ziggler he was 5 years ago. It's like I've seen the whole shtick. You go out there, you steal the show every night, you put on spectacular matches. Here's the thing. You're not the only guy that does that anymore. There's now a competition to steal the show. From men and women. Come up with something different. Do something different. Do something new. Show us there's more to you than the cocky heel. It's like, if you're going to play the underdog babyface, play the underdog babyface. Drop your shtick. And he tried that, and he did. He cut a really good promo, but it's like, to say, oh, you know, I've scratched and clawed my way. I came in as a male cheerleader. You know what? Dean Ambrose has a better underdog story than you do. Dean Ambrose comes from a broken home. He's been in and out of probably foster homes. He's a former drug addict, now clean. He's worked his way up through the indies to be WWE champion, to be the best in the industry. You can't get more underdog than that.
By the way, that was some of Dean's best mic work, too.
Yeah, it was. Dean did some fantastic mic work on this. Dean is focused. Dean understands this is his shot, and Dean is taking this seriously, which cannot argue him for. The nice thing, I will say the nice thing about the brand split, as much as I hate it, is it has refocused the main event scene on SmackDown, and you see a lot of the guys realizing that, you know, we're kind of under that glass ceiling, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
The glass ceiling, that it's now been removed. It's gone. Because the glass ceiling was Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and John Cena. That was your ceiling. And the guys could get there, they could hit it, but they couldn't get through it. And now you have guys like Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, AJ Styles.
When the heel authority figure is not the focus of the show, it allows other people to shine. SmackDown is being made to have the wrestlers in the focus rather than the authority figures in the focus, which is allowing Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose to shine more than they have in the past. Because, one, they moved all the other talent to Raw. Two, they have the opportunity now.
They're being given the opportunity because Bray is really the number two heel on that show behind AJ Styles.
I would say they're 1A, 1B, yeah.
Yeah, they're right there together, but it's like AJ's just a little bit... AJ's the cocky heel. Bray is the evil heel.
Yeah.
The maniacal guy. So it's like they're right there together. They're really close, but it's just two different characters, and so it's really hard to put who's one, who's two. But it's like, to your point earlier, to turn Dolph Ziggler, you already have the cocky heel in AJ Styles. And AJ Styles is it way better than Dolph Ziggler did.
I would agree with that point, but for the sake of the Ziggler character, turn him heel, because you keep saying, you've seen it with Ziggler. Let's go back to heel, because it's been a long time since he's really been a heel. The crowd organically turned him back in 2013. It's going to come to a point where they need to turn him back, so he can actually, all the comments he makes mean something as a heel.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think it's going to work. That's the problem, because we've seen him as a heel, we've seen him as a face, and it's really, he doesn't change much in between heel and face.
Right, and again, it goes back to, he spent 3 months feuding with Baron Corbin on the pre-show. Now he's in the main event for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam.
And I think if they had had more time to build Dolph, it would be better, but it's something of they got hit with the brand split, they didn't know what they were doing with the titles, they decided to leave Dean Ambrose as a champion, they needed a match for SummerSlam, and they came up with the six-man, and Dolph was your winner. Which, that's all fine and dandy for setting up the match at SummerSlam, but again, it's like, you look at this match, and it's like, Dolph's gonna lose. And you know he is. And that's the point where you go, beyond him losing, why? Because it's like, you're going to job him out to Dean. The feud's probably not going to continue. I would guess Dolph will probably move on to Bray, and you're going to do Dolph and Bray as that feud, and then Dean will get somebody else, and they'll move somebody else with Dean. I don't know who. But I just don't see Ziggler and Ambrose continuing.
Yeah. I don't think people like the fact that he pinned Bray in the match as well, I think. It was a very awkward finish. So, yeah, I was not happy with how it was. I understood he was pinning Bray once the match was made. It's like, he's beating Bray. The finish, it was like, ooh, it was awful, awkward. Very awkward.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just very awkward finish.
Yeah, the finish was awkward. I didn't like that he pinned Styles in the six-pack. That's what I kind of take an issue with, is it's like, there were other people in that match that probably could have taken that pin. Not AJ Styles. It's like, that's your number one A heel in the company taking the pin from Dolph Ziggler.
He's now beat the top two heels, so, you know, you would think some credibility was there. It's just sort of,
AJ Styles has the credibility. Bray Wyatt needs to be worked on. Bray Wyatt does need to be rebuilt a little bit, and jobbing him out to Dolph Ziggler after he just beat the New Day, and they just won that feud, the wife family just won that feud, hurts Bray. It's like, you need to... That match needed to end in a no DQ.
End in a DQ, not no DQ.
Yeah, sorry. End in a DQ. Or end in no finish. Where you don't have either of them win. Where it's... Because, to me, that's the more interesting story. Is... Because that's what they were calling into question was, is Dolph really that good? Is Dolph really as good as he says he is? That's what was being called into question Tuesday night.
And you put
that into doubt.
And technically, should have been DQ. He actually pulled the turnbuckle off and used it. That should have actually been the disqualification. Technically, just saying.
They've been the rules how they like.
I know. When does Harper come back?
September,
October, I believe is the time frame. Anytime. It's actually, he did an interview a few months back, said that between August and October was the target. So yeah, LeMans goes, Wyatt family taking over SmackDown, I think will make SmackDown more relevant and more interesting. 137,000% agree.
Yes, agreed on that. And just kind of segue off Dolph, because I think we've kind of talked that through. Like I said earlier, putting Eric with Bray makes complete sense. Eric Rowan is not going to get lost in the shuffle. Bray Wyatt has backup. That's what you need, because they've lost Braun. And now you can tell a really interesting story with Bray and Eric where you can work on that dynamic. And you can show that dynamic between Bray and Eric. Because you never... There are two characters that it's like they're always together, but they never... Eric never gets Bray's focus. It's either Luke or it was Braun, but Eric rarely gets that focus with Bray. So you can tell a story with Eric and Bray that could be really neat. Especially with the video that Eric dropped on Twitter, where they kind of revealed some of his backstory, I think. You can delve deeper into that, which can set up then for Harper's return, where there could be a little tension between Harper and Rowan. Because realistically, if you look at it, with Harper out and Braun gone, Eric Rowan is the only thing that stands between Bray Wyatt and Oblivion.
Yeah.
So it's like Eric Rowan has stepped up since Harper's departure and has kind of filled Harper's shoes. And now, so more than ever, he's filling Harper, Braun's, and his own shoes to take care of Bray. So you could tell, again, another really interesting story where there's some tension between Eric and Luke when Luke comes back, because Eric's been filling in for Luke all these months while Luke's been gone. And now that he's back, Eric's sort of relegated back to who he was before. And... as we saw Tuesday night, Eric was really cocky and pleased with himself.
He was very, very pleased with himself.
So it's you're building the Eric Rowan character, which I like, and you're continuing to build Bray and the Wyatt family, which I like. But the match at SummerSlam between Dolph and Dean should be good to get kind of back on the original topic. But I guess to me, it's like, it's hard for me to invest in it. I think it's the whole point of this conversation, because it's just, you kind of already know what's going to happen. And if they make the decision to put the belt on Dolph, I think that's a mistake. I don't think it should come off Ambrose till at least Survivor Series.
Ambrose is handling himself perfectly as world champion. Don't change that just yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I get Dolph's going into the Kent Hall State Hall of Fame. That's a wonderful achievement. Congratulations to him on that. But don't give him the title just for the sole purpose that he's going into that Hall of Fame. It's like, keep it on Ambrose. Let people chase Ambrose for a while, because Ambrose has the advantage of being unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do. You don't know what he's going to say. You don't know how he's going to react. That makes him probably one of the most interesting characters you have right now.
Yep. Yes, it does.
So, keep it on Ambrose. But I think that does it. What do you think?
So we're done for Thursday night live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right, well, you got plugs, so do your plugs.
Oh boy, do I have plugs. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual... Got some stuff planned. Who knows what will happen? Because, you know, I have to produce it all. It's CB Radio, the weird, wacky, unusual. CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter.com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Matt. Not Matt Goldberg, the other Matt. Don't blame Rob, someone who died 4 years ago. Come on. Step up. Like he did Sherman Helmsley. It's like, he died 4 years ago. Get on the ball. Anyway. Super Radio Live, Saturday night, midnight edge. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega recapping the week in pro wrestling. Go to WrestleTalkRadio.com and vote in the all-time greatest wrestling factions conversation that begins this Sunday night. Monday Night Raw post-show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack right here on the Mile Talk Radio Network. SummerSlam, 21 days in SummerSlam history, the video game stuff available at youtube.com/Rack Radio Show. We have 4 days up, 17 more to go. Check it all out, youtube.com/Rack Radio Show. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere else you can just search Rack Radio Show. We're there. We're all over the interwebs. We're a thing.
We are a thing.
At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Fantasy League for football starts coming up. So if you want to be a part, let me know. We got rosters filling up for pickup and for the actual fantasy football. WTR Fantasy continues with Lindsay Ward in the lead.
It's the battle for second.
It really is the battle for second. Stitcher, iTunes, search Wild Talk Radio Network. That's you.
Oh, that's me? Okay, I'm just making sure. You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211. TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, and Gerwick.net. They need a catchy tagline. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.